We're doing taking a look at the subject of divorce and what the scripture says about it, what our Lord believes about divorce, and trying to take in all the passages, understand what our Lord is saying about it, and that we might understand what He believes. We need to believe what the Lord believes. That's bottom line. The Lord believes something about different topics and subjects, and so we need to believe and line up, believe as He does, and line up with Him. In going through the Old Testament, we've took a look and stopped off in the book of Leviticus. We saw there that there was a provision, instruction that the Lord gave revolving divorced folks and those relative to the priesthood. We see that. We saw about the Lord in Numbers acknowledging that about vows, and there may be a one that is divorced and what they vow and how that will stand. We took a look at defining fornication just to get an understanding of what this word means from the biblical sense. And those things that are reserved for marriage, anybody that engages in those things that are reserved for marriage, do that outside of marriage, it's fornication. In addition to being adultery, if someone involved is married, one of those parties is married. Children come from conception, and the scripture says in Genesis 4:1 that Adam knew Eve, his wife. And so that kind of thing that happens between those who are not married, then it's fornication. That's what it is, fornication. In 1 Corinthians 7, it's good for a man. The apostle's been written to by those at Corinth, the church at Corinth. It's good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because he's going to want to continue to touch a woman. And so to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife. Let every woman have her own husband. And so in Hebrews, the Lord says, the scripture says that marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. So those things are reserved for marriage. They're engaged in by folks who are not married to one another, a man and a woman that are not married to one another. It's fornication. Okay, so we've done that. We've looked on down through here, and just by way of review, we've took a look here more recently in this passage in Deuteronomy, saying that talking about the bill of divorcement, and that there's, it says in Deuteronomy 24:1, when a man hath taken a wife, married her, and it come to pass that she find no favor in his eyes, that's one thing that's mentioned, because he have found some uncleanness, and we took an extensive look about that. And just because the context is man to husband to wife, doesn't mean that it only applies that way. If it would be the other way, we understand that it is so. Talk about the law, and talk about in the law that's given to Israel, how woven in the law are those things ceremonial, sacrificial, the holidays that are given to Israel, and also those things dietary, and also those things moral. And so as we consider the law and the commands of the Lord that were given, just given in general, as we look through the scripture that were given to Israel, you know, we have to have discernment. May the Lord help us to have discernment about what applies, what is moral, and what was given to the Jews in the day of their worship and such as that, but all pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. The bill of divorcement is talked about there, and that's the only occasion that we have where there's instruction about that. And so we considered those things. We took a look at Ezra. We took a look at Nehemiah we took a look in the book of Ezra fairly extensively about how the Lord, or the problem that was at hand there, and how the inhabitants of Judah, the inhabitants of the land that had come back from being in captivity, they had married, the leadership was most guilty of it, how they married those of the land and what they had to do to solve and keep the bloodlines pure. That was the reason that the Lord put, one of the reasons the Lord led them into captivity in the first place, as they mingled with the inhabitants of the land. And so there it was given that they put away those wives and that and their and children and such. They put them away, and there seems to be no rebuke at hand about that. And that was all relative to the Moabites, the Midianites, the Ammonites, and the inhabitants of the land. So we took a look at all those things. We took a look in Isaiah and in Jeremiah last time about, and in the book of Hosea, about how the Lord speaks about Israel. He refers to Israel, that she has been adulterous, the two tribes in Isaiah, that Judah watched Israel, the 10 northern tribes, commit adultery against him. He says that they went after a whorish way and a wicked way, and that Judah watched that, and that Judah was going yet the same way, and that the Lord refers to that in Isaiah as putting Israel, putting Judah, putting his nation away. And the Lord's not a physical man in this, you know, in living in time, having a physical wife. But in speaking about his nation, he says he has put her away. The thing is in that, she's done so because of her wickedness and her adultery and her fornication. Pardon me, her whoredom. He's done that. The thing is the Lord's not looking for another wife, is he? He's not, because reconciliation is always the mind of the Lord, and he will, in his great power and ability, he will bring her back to him. We saw about Hosea and what was said there, and the example that Hosea was to live before the nation. That his whole life and the woman that he took to be wife, and how it was that what the Lord would do with his nation also. So we've looked at those things. We want to look at this tonight with the Lord's help. Let's turn to the book of Ezekiel. Let's take a look at a few things here, and tonight we'll look to wrap up all things divorce and putting away wise in the Old Testament that we can see or that are known. If you know of some other verses dealing with this, we'd be interested to know about them. But these are the ones where the words that we're focusing upon are divorce or putting away. In Ezekiel chapter 16, of course, Ezekiel is another prophet that's sent by the Lord to be a witness to the nation. And of course, they're 30 years into captivity at the time that Ezekiel is a prophet, raised up to be a prophet. And so he's prophesying to those in captivity after Judah has gone down into captivity, if I'm understanding that right. And we see here in Ezekiel chapter 16, we want to hone in on verse number 38. So let's back up to verse 35. Here he's lamenting the whoredom of his city, Jerusalem. And that's something that I've kind of noticed. You know, the prophets that were sent, they would talk about the nation. And then there was prophets more towards the end or that would then begin to hone in on Jerusalem. It was just like the whole thing was caving in, if you will. And there was just little by little by little by little bit left until it was gone, until they were sold into captivity. And so listen to what the prophet prophesies upon the nation, upon Jerusalem here. Verse number 35 of Ezekiel 16. Wherefore, O harlot, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, because thy filthiness was poured out and thy nakedness discovered through thy whoredoms, with thy lovers and with all the with idols of thy abominations, and by the blood of thy children, which thou didst give unto them, okay, even to the point of human sacrifice. These words could be used. I would believe that these words could even be used by the Lord to indicate how those of Israel, those of Judah, those of the Lord's nation would not instruct their children, as Brother Stephen pointed out, and what the Lord commanded them in the book of Deuteronomy and his study about children on Sunday morning's adult Sunday school class. They didn't do that. They taught them the way of the wicked land of Canaan is what they did, and otherwise. And so the they're guilty of the blood of their children, even by not testifying of the salvation of the Lord. But we know also that they offered them up for sacrifice, didn't they? What a terrible thing. As a nation, we're doing the same thing with abortion and with our children being subject to be indoctrinated by the state. We need to teach our children what's right in the way of the Lord. And so we need not be guilty of those things too. Verse 37, "Behold, therefore, I will gather all thy lovers with whom thou hast taken pleasure, and all them that thou hast loved with all them that thou hast hated. And I will even gather them round about against thee, and will discover thy nakedness unto them, that they may see all thy nakedness." Now, the Lord says, you wanted to be whorish with these other nations. You look for deliverance from another nation. You look for provision from another nation. You look for confederacy from another nation that I warned you about to stay away with. You look to another God. We saw that, how the scripture declares and the Lord declares. How does a nation go away from their gods? Nations keep their gods. He said, but my nation's going away from their God. And so, so he said, I'm going to take it. And these that you've pursued after, they're going to be to your shame. And your shame is going to be revealed. Your nakedness is going to be revealed before them. And Israel is even yet today paying for that now. I mean, she's a little state amongst a great bunch of real estate inhabited by those that hate her, want her death. They would rejoice to know that Israel would be taken over. Verse number 38, "And I will judge thee as women that break wedlock and shed blood are judged." So the Lord's going to take these, the example of these, and the way that those that break wedlock, and he's going to judge his nation that way. "And I will give thee blood and fury and jealousy, and I will also give thee into their hand, and they shall throw down thine eminent place," you know, the place of worship, "and shall break down thy high places, and shall strip thee also of thy clothes, and shall take thy fair jewels and leave thee naked and bare. They shall also bring up a company against thee, and they shall stone thee with stones and thrust thee through with their swords." Not only the places of on the mountains that they would make to worship their false gods would the Lord cause them to destroy, but also the true place of worship was destroyed. And it was finally, Judaism was done in 70 AD when Titus came in and destroyed Jerusalem, the temple, and all of it. And it hasn't been since the temple, the place of worship for the Jews. They've only had the synagogue. So the Lord references here this judging of those that break wedlock, and that there is there's a judgment. Of course, this is a very severe punishment, as it is the punishment that the Lord indicates about those that are caught in adultery, that they're to be stoned. Okay, the man and the woman. You remember the woman that was taken in adultery in the day in the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ? They brought her, but they didn't bring the man, and they were very emphatic about she was taken in the act. Well, she was taken in the act. Where is he? And they were respecter of persons, weren't they? And they didn't abide by that. So there's this reference here. In Ezekiel 44, let's take a look over here. There's another reference we want to consider. In Ezekiel chapter 44, here it's told about how the priests are to operate and ordinance for them and such. And this is along the line with what we saw in Leviticus. It's a reiteration of that. And let's pick it up in verse 17. "It shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments," speaking of the priest, Ezekiel 44:17, "and no wool shall come upon them whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. When they go forth into the outer court, even to the outer court of the people, they shall put off their garments when they minister and lay them in the holy chambers. They shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long." These are the priests. "They shall only pull their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow. Okay? Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away. So the Lord knows he is for putting away, but he indicates there will be those that are put away, and a priest is not to take one of those to wife. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow, a qualifier on that, that had a priest before. So a woman that had been a priest's wife, and that is a widow, they could take and marry her. So there's an indication here that there are those, the Lord knows that there will be those that are put away. In regards to the priests, they're not to marry them. Then we come to the New Testament. So that's all that we see, about this of divorce and putting away. And we come to the New Testament. We've got two passages that we're heading for at the end in Matthew chapter 5 and Matthew chapter 19. And we're going to get to those. We're going to look at those at the end. Because those are the ones that we wonder about, and that we're seeking the Lord's face about what they do mean and how they apply. We want to go ahead and take a look at all the other passages relative to this in the New Testament. Then we'll come back to those two at the last. So Matthew chapter 5, we're going to get there. Matthew 19, we're going to get there. But let's take a look otherwise what the Scripture says about this thing of divorce. We're in the day of the Lord's ministry, of course, and in Matthew and Mark chapter 10. Let's take a look over here. Mark chapter 10. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he did in many ways and many times, he set everything straight, didn't he? One thing was thought, one thing was taught, a thing was inherited from parents or religious leaders of the day or whatever, a way of thinking. And we're that way. We can inherit a lot of things. Somebody that's saved and is saved and they're blessed to understand about the church, they submit to baptism and church membership and that. They come into a church. It's the design of the Lord. They're going to be taught, right? That's the design, is they're to be taught, or to study themselves and to be taught and guided in the church. That's part of the responsibility, to teach, to observe the all things. That's part of the commission the Lord's given us to do. And so we can inherit some things that we're taught. And young Christians, in many cases, just take things as they're instructed. Somebody that's saved and comes into the church, they would say, "Well, what am I supposed to believe or do about this?" And then so we tell them, and they'll receive that. But then in time, they well should study and understand from the Scripture what the Scripture says, or we would take the Scripture and show them. But sometimes we can pass on things that aren't right, can't we? It can happen. And so the ultimate end of what we learn from our parents, what we learn from life, what we learn by experience, and what we learn from our brothers and sisters in Christ, what we learn even in the church, we need to know that that we understand and believe the truth of what God says about those things. Just because my daddy taught me it doesn't mean that it's right, if it doesn't jibe with the Scriptures. Okay, so that's the point that I'm trying to make. So the Lord did that a lot, didn't he? They had received things and believed things, but on the Sermon on the Mount and other times when the Lord preached, he set things straight. So that's what I mean by that. In Mark chapter 10, verse number 1, let's read. And he arose from thence, that is Jesus, and cometh unto the coasts of Judea by the farther side of Jordan, and the people resort unto him again. And as he was wont, he taught them again. And the Pharisees came to him and asked him, "Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife?" Tempting him. Okay, so this is the question at hand. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? And Mark writes, they're just trying to catch the Lord in his words. Okay, that's what that means. Verse 3. And he answered and said unto them, "What did Moses command you?" So you go ahead and take it back. What did Moses say? What was given to you by Moses? And they said, "Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. Now, when we read that over in Deuteronomy, remember when we read that in what, Deuteronomy chapter 24? You know, there was nothing there. I'll read two of the verses to you. When a man hath taken a wife and married her, and it come to pass she find no favor in his eyes, because he hath found some uncleanness in her, then let him write her a bill of divorcement and give it into her hand, and send her out of his house. Verse 3, I'm skipping verse 2. And if the latter husband hate her and write a bill of divorcement, that verse 2 told about she would go and marry another, and then that one would die or divorce or whatever. And if the latter husband hate her and write her a bill of divorcement, and giveth it in her hand, and sendeth her out of his house, or if the latter husband die, which took her to be his wife, and so on. There's nothing there that says, you're getting this because of the hardness of your heart. It's just there in the scripture, just like the other commands are. Okay? So we need to understand that. So the Lord asked here in Mark 10, what did Moses command you? And they said, Moses suffered to write a bill of divorcement and to put her away. And Jesus answered and said unto them, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. For there to be divorce, there's got to be some hardness of heart somewhere. I think that's what the Lord is saying. Now, he's saying to them, you know, these fellows are looking to tempt the Lord. And we could take and expound upon this particular subject in a greater way. I mean, there's many different areas that could be at hand. I'll try to mention a few of them. The Lord said, because of the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. So the Lord is revealing that. It doesn't say anything about that in Deuteronomy 24. It just gives the order of how it would be. But the Lord said, hardness of heart has got to be involved. How would that be? Well, if a man had married a lady and she had become his wife, and then he didn't like the way that she looked when she got older, and he put her away, that would be hardness of heart, wouldn't it? If he didn't like the way she cleaned or the way she dressed or the way that she cooked and he put her away, that'd be hardness of heart, wouldn't it? That word uncleanness that we looked at, if she, and I know that the context is man to woman, but this applies both ways. If she would have went out and been adulterous towards him and he, you know, in this scenario, these are scenarios, would be guiltless of treating her in a bad way, that would be hardness of heart on her part, wouldn't it? There's hardness of heart when divorce is at hand. People go from loving one another to hating one another, and they haven't worked on their marriage, and they you've got to work on a marriage. Marriage just doesn't happen. You've got to work on marriage. It's that way. It's got to be pursued. It's got to be ensued. It does. Maybe they just, as is said in the day, they fall out of love because they haven't worked on their marriage. What's at hand? Hardness of heart. To pursue after another. I don't like this one as much as that one that I don't have. That's hardness of heart. Wickedness that's at hand. And so the Lord says, for the hardness of your heart, he wrote you this precept. So understand how a number of ways that that could be. But if there's going to be divorce, there's going to be hardness of heart at hand somewhere. You're going to find it in one party or the other or both. But from the beginning, the Lord sets it straight. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. That's the way marriage is. Doesn't matter what the naysayers say today and those that are trying to change laws and times and seasons and all that. Marriage was ordained by God, and it's one man and one woman married till death do they part. That's what the Lord's design is, period. From the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, so much so, and they twain shall be one flesh. Woven together, braided together. There, you don't see two anymore. You see one. In Genesis, there's a passage there that says and called their name Adam. It says that because they were one flesh. They were one. The Lord gave the woman to Adam to be a help suitable for him. So from the beginning of the creation, God made them male and female. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother. And that's right. They don't have anything to do with the marriage anymore. Father and mother, the best thing you can do for your children when they go and marry and start their own home is leave them alone. Be a good friend to them. Be a good help to them. But don't be involved in their marriage. Work on your own marriage and pray for them that they'll work on their marriage. Okay? Leave father and mother and cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh, so they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. He goes on to say in verse 11, and he saith unto them, verse number 10, and in the house his disciples ask him again of the same matter. So they're saying, okay, would you go over that again? Okay, we do that. You know, we hear something, we read something. Let me hear that again. Why? Because these fellas had been taught something. See, they had inherited a way of thinking, a way of doing, a way of operating that this spoke against. Okay, the Lord spoke against in this. I think that's what's at hand. So, the Lord says, they ask him, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife? He said, what did Moses command you? They said, a bill of divorcement, put her away. He said, that's for the hardness of your heart. Remember how it was at the beginning? God made them male and female. They're to leave their parents. They're to cleave to one another. They're not two anymore. They're one flesh. And what God's joined together in marriage, because marriage is of the Lord, doesn't matter if you're saved or not saved, or one's saved and one's not. Marriage is of the Lord, period. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. That's the design. Okay, so in the house, they say, would you mind running by that again? And in the house, his disciples ask him again of the same matter. And he said unto them, let's get this clear, fellas. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her. Okay? That's landing right on top of the men, isn't it? Because that was the men, the Pharisees and the Sadducees that came along tempting the Lord, that asked this question, the Pharisees. They were men, and the Lord's making it real plain. You divorce your wife and you marry another, it's adultery. He's just telling them plain and straight. Whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another committeth adultery against her, against the woman. And the Lord says, he makes it very clear, if a woman shall put away her husband. Okay, what's that over there in Deuteronomy? It was just man to his action against the woman. But he said, this works both ways. He says, if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. So the Lord takes this thing and sets it straight. Marriage is for life. That's the design. Divorce comes when there's hardness of heart. And it was written and given by Moses. And it's in the scriptures. And Israel had it to operate by. But I think what was at hand is that certainly it was abused. Okay, what was written over there in Deuteronomy chapter 24, it was abused. They didn't hold to whatever is there. Certainly they departed from that as they had many other things. And the Lord sets the thing straight. Marriage is for life. You divorce this one, you marry another, you've committed adultery against this one. Okay. So there we have that in Mark chapter 10. Let's take a look over here in Luke chapter 16. Luke 16. Luke 16. In Luke chapter 16, hallmark passage in that it talks about the rich man and Lazarus. But before that, we see this. Let's read this in verse number 14, Luke 16, 14. And the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Okay, the Lord's speaking about faithfulness, faithful in little things. You know, it's we got to be faithful in the little things before the Lord commits to us, as he says, true riches. Okay, you got to be faithful in just the basic things. We got to be faithful in those things, the easy things to understand. We got to be faithful in that, in those things, because then the Lord will give more. It's his way. It's the way he operates. If we're not faithful in the basic things, we'll never move on to see anything else until we're faithful. So as the Lord gives, so he ends this up, this thought up in verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. You'll either hate the one and love the other, or vice versa. So then he comes to the Pharisees come, and they heard these things, they derided him. And he said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts. Verse 15, for that which is highly esteemed amongst men is abomination in the sight of God. So if something, if you and I follow after something that's popular, need to be careful. If it's popular with the world and really the going in thing with the world, we need to evaluate it and make sure that God, find out what God thinks about it. The law and the prophets, verse number 16, were until John. Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it. Okay? Boy, a lot can be brought out of that. We'll not do that now. Verse 17, and it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail. Okay, so it'd be easier for this world and the heavens to dissolve. It'd be easier for that to happen than it will be for the word of the Lord to not be fulfilled. Wow, that's a statement, isn't it? Especially for us who live on this earth. Verse 18. Then he says here straight out, whosoever putteth away his wife and marrieth another committeth adultery. That's just there, isn't it? There it is. And whosoever marrieth her that is put away from her husband committeth adultery. And then he goes on to tell us about the certain rich man and Lazarus. So the Lord setting things straight about how it is in regards to marriage and how it is in regards to divorce and even this of adultery. The both things are mentioned. And I think the reason that both things are mentioned is that a man wouldn't look to divorce his wife and not go on to marry another. Okay, I think the thinking is that, and the way it was amongst them is that when they wanted a divorce, they wanted a divorce because they wanted another one. And that's the reason that's mentioned that way. But there are two things that happen. The first relationship is broken by divorce or putting away, and then that second relationship is taken up. Okay, and the Lord sets it plain and straight. We'll go ahead next time. We'll be going over into 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and taking a look at what the apostle wrote over there. Some interesting things over there, and some of the wording is interesting too. We'll see about that. Pray the Lord to help us and give us discernment and understanding about this. And the Lord would give us his wisdom and his understanding.